information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now back to Mike Adams.
Well, one of the upgrades to NAFTA in the new USMCA was supposed to be in the area of dairy, and I want to get an update, see how that is going here in the early stages of USMCA. We're joined now by Shauna Morris, Vice President Trade Policy for the National Milk Producers Federation. Shauna, thanks for joining us. How's it going so far here in the early stages of USMCA from a dairy perspective?
Thanks for having me, Mike. I'd say in the early stages of USMCA, we're still hopeful about the tremendous promise that this agreement has for dairy farmers and dairy manufacturers. But it's also very clear from this early start of the process so far that a lot more work's ahead of the U.S. in order to get the full benefits of those commitments that we extracted from Canada as well as from Mexico under USMCA.
Now, the big thing was more market access, especially to Canada, for U.S. dairy products. Are we seeing that? Have we seen significant changes in Canada to allow that to happen?
You're right. That was one of the really big pieces, in addition to the pricing class changes related to Class 7 and similar provisions that Canada made under USMCA. We don't have the trade data yet to see exactly how things began to play out in the first month in which USMCA was implemented, so last month during July. But what we have seen so far that has us and clearly a number of members of Congress concerned as well is that the rules for accessing those exports to Canada, the tariff rate quota rules for how they're divvied out to companies that want to make use of that market access, certainly don't seem to be in compliance with the commitments Canada made under the agreement. And that's one of the key concerns that we've been highlighting.
So some red flags there, and a bipartisan group of members of Congress have sent a letter to the trade representative urging a strict enforcement of USMCA on these dairy provisions.
Exactly. We saw over 100 members of Congress send that message to USTR and USDA last week, which we think is really welcome. And another thing I note about that message is that it was really very strongly bipartisan, because I think there is broad spread support from both Republicans and Democrats in Congress, and certainly a strong commitment from this administration, we know, too, to making sure that we actually get the full benefit of this agreement that the U.S. worked so hard to actually secure. If I could just touch on another couple of provisions that letter highlighted that are of really strong importance for dairy. You mentioned one, the market access issues, but a couple of other points that are really key to being able to harness the full potential of this agreement are how Canada actually translates its commitments to eliminate Class 7 and put new pricing policy commitments in place into practice. We still have yet to see how that's going to translate into the real world. And then on the Mexico side, a key benefit and plus up that dairy saw under USMCA versus NAFTA was Mexico's commitment to safeguard and protect the use of a number of common cheese names. But we likewise don't know how they actually plan to implement that into their own regulations. And that's going to be key for ensuring that we get those benefits in practice.
Well, does USMCA have any timelines in it that they need to go by, or could this drag on?
The first piece of it, the market access one, and how Canada handles that through its tariff rate quota allocation, that's something Canada is already overdue on. It issued rules when it implemented the agreement at the start of July, but those rules don't square with the commitment, so they need to be fixing those yesterday. The Class 7 and pricing program related changes, there's a little bit more lead time on. The agreement gave Canada 6 months to implement a number of those commitments. So that still is, at least for a number of those promises, in the work and wait to see area. But certainly we think that a forward-leaning approach to proactively engaging with Canada on them is going to yield a lot more benefits than simply taking a backward-leaning approach from that. There's no specific timeline on the Mexico pieces, but clearly it's something that we want to see squared away so that our exporters have those commitments on paper in the Mexican regulations and know they can rely on them.
We're talking with Shauna Morris, Vice President, Trade Policy for the National Milk Producers Federation. Shauna, this reminds us that you can have a trade deal and it can go into effect on a certain date like this did, 1st of July. But that doesn't mean everything just happens all at once. It does take time. It's a process.
It absolutely is, and one that it's really critical for the industry to remain engaged in, working together with our government, both the administration and congressional supporters, so that what we think we got translates into what we actually do get at the end of the process.
Because when you think about it from an agricultural standpoint, USMCA was billed more as an update, not a significant change from NAFTA. The areas of most change would probably be for your segment of agriculture, dairy. So it's critical to keep pushing to have enforcement of that. Do you get any response from the trade representative's office about what they are doing as far as making sure that this is enforced?
I think the responses that they've given to Congress, there hasn't been a response to the letter from late last week issued yet, but it has been a topic that members of Congress have raised with Ambassador Lighthizer at previous interactions with him over the last few months, has been that they're very well aware of the importance of these issues, and that they are talking to the Canadians in particular, and committed to enforcing these steps. I think that it's messages like this letter from over 100 members of Congress that continue to send the right message to our trading partners about the need to be dealing in good faith with USTR as they're working to sort through these issues with them.
If there's not response from Canada and Mexico on these issues, and it doesn't look like they're addressing them, at least to the U.S., the way the U.S. reads the rules for USMCA, then what's the course of action we can take?
Well, if at the end of a process of trying to work through these issues with our USMCA partners, we don't see satisfaction, USMCA has enforcement tools. It does provide countries, including the U.S., the ability to bring a court case effectively through the parameters of the agreement in order to be able to enforce those commitments. So, you know, hopefully you're able to get there through direct interaction and bilateral discussions to sort through issues, but those, you know, genuine dispute settlement provisions that were in USMCA are critical, as they are in any of our trade agreements, to make sure that you have the hammer there to enforce yourself if you have to.
Yeah, hopefully it can be done outside of the judicial system, but that is an alternative that is still there. So, in other words, I guess the takeaway from this, when USMCA started last month, that did not mean that the Class 7 system in Canada came to an end? There's still remnants of it?
There's still some pieces related to that, correct, that Canada needs to, that the agreement allows Canada some time to fully phase out. Again, 6 months was the time clock given for Canada to be able to transition some of those Class 7 related pieces of its system into full compliance. On the tariff rate quota side of it, though, as I mentioned, that was due to be in place and in alignment with USMCA commitments as of the 1st of July already.
So we'll keep a close watch on that. You mentioned these names. We've talked about this before. This is such a key issue about who owns the names of these products. That's a big part of these trade issues, isn't it?
It absolutely is, especially as our industry is working to export more high-value products and increasingly a lot more of our cheese to foreign markets. Being able to call the product what it actually is a pretty fundamental right to being able to market it effectively. And that's absolutely nowhere more true than in our largest export market, Mexico.
John, everybody's watching closely what China buys from us. What are they buying as far as our dairy products?
Well, we've seen a bit of an uptick from recent trade data in some of the buying from China, for whey in particular, some other dairy products as well. I'd say, though, unfortunately, we really haven't seen a significant surge yet of buying from China in order to deliver on the very large commitment numbers that it promised under the U.S.-China Phase 1 agreement. The progress that we've seen from them has been rather, in our space at least, much more on the regulatory side. There were a number of non-tariff commitments that China made under that deal related to dairy trade, and it has followed through on each of those to quite positive effect. Now our eyes are, of course, on those outstanding pieces of looking to see significant and sustained upward trajectory of dairy buying as well.
So technically they're following the deal, but the hope is it's going to lead to much more, right?
I think that sums it up well.
Okay. It seems like we all continue to watch China, see what they do, what they buy, and dairy is a big part of that as well. All right, Shannon, we'll keep our eyes on USMCA and the issues with Mexico and Canada when it comes to dairy. Thank you for the update.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Shauna Morris, Vice President, Trade Policy for the National Milk Producers Federation. Yeah, we don't talk a lot about USMCA because of what was going on with COVID. The start of it last month kind of almost slipped by without too much fanfare, and now we got to make sure we keep an eye on as far as enforcement of the trade deal. Up next, we're going to talk livestock markets. We'll talk dairy. We'll talk hogs and cattle as well. We'll talk with Michael Nevue with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Where are we right now with the livestock markets, and what is his outlook? We'll get that next here on AOA, Adams on Agriculture.